The Bajamoan, the Telling of Events, a series focusing on both the oral and written histories of the White Earth Reservation and Northern Minnesota regions, with an emphasis on Native American histories.
This is part one of a seven-part series, Lee and Tell, Voices of Our Elders, the Dabajamoan Project on KKWE.
Good morning. My name is Lee Antel, and I'd like to talk a little bit about my days on the White Earth Reservation, where I was born and raised, and try to cover many years in a short period of time. My first recollections of living on the reservation was when I was about 6 years old. I was born in the old White Earth Indian Hospital in 1942, and we lived in my first recollections in Roy Lake. It was just across the Mahnomen County line into Clearwater County, down in the corner of those two, where those two counties intersected. So technically I lived in Clearwater County, but most of my life I lived in Mahnomen County. And so my first days were living out in the woods of Roy Lake. And talk about a barren place to live. Keep in mind now, this would be about 1948. No paved roads, gravel roads, no cars, really. We never had a car. No electricity, no running water, no amenities, and there were 8 children living with my mother in a room, a one-room tar paper shack, probably about as large as a modern-day school bus. That would be the entire square footage of that place. Remember sleeping 4 in a bed crossways. And the house was, I don't know what held the house up, because it was an old rickety house. You could feel the wind blowing through the cracks in the middle of the winter. As a result of that, one of the biggest jobs was cutting wood. Because at night you filled up the stove, you turn it on, and it would be nice and warm and even hot for a while. But when the fire went out, probably about 4 o'clock in the morning, it was colder than an icicle in the little shack. Heaven help you if you had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, because there's no electric lights. I think the family owned like one flashlight, and you had to go to the outhouse, which was out behind the house, on this little path about 8 inches wide. Hope you didn't fall off the path. Hope you didn't get lost. Hope you could find the outhouse, and you hope that somebody had left some catalog pages behind for you. Otherwise, you were in serious trouble. As I said, there were 8 of us, 8 children, and at that time I had an older brother and sister who were in high school. I was in grades 1 through 4. That's the time that I spent there. And then my siblings, the rest of my siblings then, were younger than I was. Well, living out in the woods, a pretty desolate place. There was really no such things as toys. Whatever toys you had, you made. Plus we had the woods. We spent hours in the woods imagining we were all sorts of different characters. Cowboys and Indians and pirates and everything else that children could imagine you could be. There was a swamp next to our house, not terribly far away, and we had found this old metal bathtub. we used to like to take this bathtub and make a boat out of it. And we were warned, my mother warned us, don't take that boat, put it on the water. It's not meant to be a boat. Well, who could resist? Who could resist not having the opportunity to sail and be a pirate and go around the world if you had a boat and you had the water and everything? And so we would sneak down there and we would go boating until one day we tipped over, came back, and we're just covered with mud because the water was only maybe a couple of feet deep and the rest was mud, and we came back. That was a story that, an experience that we would not want to relive. The encounter with my mother after she had found out that we had disobeyed her and we had gone boating, as we like to call it. We talk a lot today about how to discipline children. There were no rules back when I was 7 or 8 years old for tipping a boat over in the swamp. She would take a switch, we'd all get it. Your turn, your turn, your turn. It's funny now, but it wasn't terribly funny at the time. So boating was quite an adventure for us. And then whatever else we could think of to do in the woods. And I remember one time we were playing ball, and my sister, Lucy, who was 2 years younger than I was, was playing with me, as were the younger kids. We were playing this game of ball. And so she hit the ball, and I put her out. She took the bat. The bat was a leg of a chair. Not a bat as you would think of today, but she took the bat of the chair and she cracked me over the head as hard as she could, split my head wide open, and she said to me, "Don't you ever put me out again." I had blood running down into my face and ran into the house. So I've taken her at her word. Since then, I have never put her out again. So that was one of our adventures as we were using our makeshift toys. It came back to haunt me that I should never put my sister out again. So she was always safe, no matter where she hit the ball. It was not worth it. So that was one of the things that we did. There were no paved roads in those days. And they had road graders. Road graders would come along and they'd take the road grader, and they had an adjustable blade, and they would keep the road smooth. So they would go past your house taking dirt from the middle of the road, kind of pushing it to the side, and then on the way back they'd do the opposite side of the road. And so it was a really big deal for us when we could hear the road grader coming. We'd rush out to the road and we'd all stand there and we'd give the road grader driver a salute, and he'd wave his hat, and we thought that was a pretty big treat, is to go out there and watch the road grader go by. The idea of listening to the radio or television hadn't even entered our minds at that particular point. And so we just made do what we could.
Tune in next time for part 2 of 7. For the full series of Lee & Tell and other series, visit prx.org or neegeeradio.org.
Funding for this program has been made possible through a grant from the Legacy, Art, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.